Let's introduce ourselves in this beautiful episode of Corporate Lunch, GQ's customer service and fine dining podcast about clothes and hats and haircuts and dating advice. This is episode 114. 115 beautiful episodes of Corporate Lunch. If you don't know what to give someone you love for the holidays, give them the gift of around 100 hours of us talking. You can just send them a link with like some emojis and say, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, or I don't know what you like or what size you are, but this podcast is okay. So you guys want to hear the chair story? Ugh.
Yes.
I've just never seen you tweet at a brand before, or like tag a brand before,
It was an Instagram story. I'm actually glad.
I actually have seen Noah go off on UPS at UPS on Twitter like multiple times, but I think you would always delete it after they would like help find your package or whatever. But those are some spicy customer service tweets.
Yeah, I'm glad we're going to get into this. I have, I guess, a little bit of what you would call a Karen trait, right? Like complaining to management about the small injustice of commerce. I have a really short, I don't want to say I have like a short, a low tolerance, because some things are just egregious, such as the chair debacle. I feel I was being generous up to a point, but yes, I have had near meltdowns on social media as a result of like a tracking number that hasn't been updated or a package that's running a day behind schedule.
I think we can all relate to that. Like your John is inbound. You plan your outfit for the next day around this new item of clothing, and then it gets lost in like the UPS matrix, and it just ruins your entire day.
Or it's just
pop
it's
off
like
on social media.
It's in Canarsie for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And you don't know why. And you're
stuck
like,
in
I
customs.
Could just drive to Canarsie. Maybe this fit is that important.
Noah's rare Japanese hat made out of an endangered species is like impounded in the port of New York City.
It needs to be taken out of the box so it can be aired. Otherwise it will decompose. I mean, mail, like package anxiety in New York and probably in other cities is like such a real thing, right? Because there's always the fear of something being stolen or left at the wrong stoop or like, you know, insecure. And then you know that the delivery guys, like as much as I respect them, like will sometimes just kind of not really ring the bell or something, or ring the wrong bell. They don't try always all that hard, it seems, to find you. And then if they don't find you, you're left with like some slip of paper that says you have to come pick up your package like in some other county. It's crazy. So yeah, I mean, there is anxiety associated with package deliveries in New York. And then just the delayed excitement, the anticipation and then delayed excitement is just can be too much to bear. But at the same time, I do want to give a big shout out to UPS, FedEx, DHL, the postal service, especially keeping us drip through these strange and challenging times. I did it. I went full Karen on Instagram over a chair I purchased and received in basically destroyed, unusable condition. Not because of it, like not something that happened in shipping. It was literally shipped exactly as they intended it to be, which was falling apart and covered in glue.
I guess what is shocking to me about this, in addition to your Karening out on this brand on social media, is that you ordered a knockoff version of something, which I feel like we've been doing this for 115 episodes, and like every episode you're always like, don't buy the fake thing, buy the real thing, man. And you didn't follow your own advice. And I feel in a certain way, you clowned yourself.
I played myself so many times in this debacle. I mean, for sure, like the vulnerability, exposing myself with the rant was one. you know, that had to include some detail about the item that was purchased, which revealed that it was in fact a knockoff. That's another. It was also a sheepskin chair, which is a slightly embarrassing thing to buy to begin with.
Why?
I don't know. I got a lot of comments that were like, yo dog, why are you buying soft chairs?
The hard clothes man needs a soft chair.
Yeah, that was part of the deal with having hard clothes is you have to find softness elsewhere in your life. But
what was the original, what's the original sheepskin chair?
It's called the clam chair, designed by some guy named Arctander. Like, it's like a Swedish 40s or 50s design, I think. And it's just this incredible, simple chair with wooden arms and wooden legs, and kind of like what appears to be like a one piece back and seat that's sort of rounded, vaguely reminiscent of a clamshell, I guess. And they're classically done in sheepskin, and they tend to, like, a good, any kind of vintage, like authentic version is in the neighborhood of like $15,000 to $20,000. So, like, borderline museum piece, I guess I would say. This is for like a white sheepskin chair, which, I made the fatal mistake. I was tempted by the fruits of replica marketing, and I blew it for myself, for my family, for all of my friends and followers. I disappointed everyone, and that I think that coming clean, sharing the story, was really part of beginning to heal for me. I needed a chair. Chairs are hard to shop for. You know, I spent weeks and weeks and weeks looking and hunting and just kept like hitting dead ends and basically being cheap about it. And then I just kind of impulsively pulled the trigger on this thing from a known maker of replica furniture that has a good reputation. And that was the one thing. I like heard from people that they were good. So don't trust anyone is another lesson to be learned. Not even people you like.
This concludes the press conference. No further questions, please. Thank you.
I mean, people, the social media call out is deeply embarrassing. Like, the best version of it is blue check marks on Twitter going in on airlines for like delays. That is like peak. And like, I get it, because it's what you do in a moment of like total helplessness. When you think, oh, you have leverage on this platform. And frankly, like, social media managers somehow are able to make more happen sometimes than customer service can. And in a moment of desperation, you go there and maybe hoping you get like an upgrade or a free drink or something out of it.
So did they respond to you?
I don't know if I'm legally allowed to discuss what steps have been taken. I think I'll say that no, nothing happened on Instagram. It was crickets. What happened on Instagram, though, was just a fantastic outpouring of comments and DMs from friends and strangers. That was just like a hilarious mix of advice on what to do. And frankly, a lot of respect for my bravery in speaking out. And almost no one clowned me. Only one person called me Karen, and it's a good friend who's just an asshole. But it warmed my heart, the response. It's actually, if you're ever feeling down, maybe just make up like some like bad takeout experience where they didn't bring your food or it was cold or something. And that's a good way to get people to kind of rally around you with positivity.
I forgot you also had a weird takeout thing like a year ago.
That's private, and I've never shared that. That's the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. I had a takeout experience fall apart, and in a moment of, again, I'm very impulsive and emotional in these situations. I didn't know what to do. The order was over, and I wrote like a negative Yelp review or something.
That was like, I'm just trying to feed my family. Food is so late.
The owner of the restaurant called me within 60 seconds of the comment being published. And he was irate and like threatening. So be careful about leaving comments. But that's all.
He's just trying to feed his family too, you know?
I know. And I have since ordered from that restaurant multiple other times, and I always tip well, and the food is always very good. Yeah, this stuff is hard to talk about, but we have to normalize customer service meltdowns and adding brands when you're at the end of your rope. I wasn't just trying to shame the brand and force their hand, although I'd be lying if I said I wasn't part of it. But I was kind of like looking for advice. Like, what do you do when you just get screwed and you like, they've got your money and you've got some garbage and I can't like walk it into a store and like, and bark at some manager that way. And there is something you can do. Many, many people suggested this to me. I won't say whether or not I've taken this step, but you can you just call your credit card company. Visa or Amex, for those who have credit cards.
MasterCard, Discover.
Diners Club. They're more incentivized to resolve the issue for you. And they can and will often, if you, you know, don't abuse it or something, if you're being honest, they can handle it on your behalf and often do. So that's what I learned. And that was part of my outreach to the community, was for some help, and I got it. And now hopefully soon this chapter in my life will be behind us. Anyway, what else is on the docket?
What's our next topic?
We're going to talk for the rest of this episode. Talk a video game and Dior. What did Dior do?
It was the Kenny Scharf collaboration, but the coolest part was the hair, which was really cool. Guido Palau.
Guido, that's the guy, the main guy.
Yeah.
Top dog.
All I want for Christmas is Guido Palau to come over to my apartment and just fuck up my hair.
I would do anything for Guido Palau to fuck up my hair. He's made all the important hair. He and Jawara have made all the important hairstyles this year.
What do you think a one time, like an hour long session with Guido costs? Like a styling session, a little cut and style. Like $10,000.
Yeah, thousands of dollars.
Wait, so what are the, can we get a Fashion World update right now? There's fashion shows happening. I'm not sure why. What?
Yeah, they just don't stop.
Yeah, they never
stop. Well, here's what happened is that a bunch of the brands, especially the ones that are owned by Kering, are like not going on the schedule anymore, right? Yeah. So like Saint Laurent is showing next week, and Gucci showed a couple of weeks ago, and Dior right now is showing their pre-fall collection.
Oh, right. And what did Balenciaga just show, or what was the Balenciaga video game collection?
That was their spring summer 21 collection.
Oh, wow. So we're just all, none of it makes any sense.
Well, I think the thing that is cool about Balenciaga, Gucci, and Saint Laurent is that they are all Kering brands. And it seems like the Kering brands are more dedicated to like experimenting with like when they're showing and what they're showing and how.
Yeah.
Right. Because Gucci did this like cool video, this like film festival, and did all of these like mini films for lots of like emerging designers, which was really cool. And Saint Laurent is like, we're just kind of showing on our own schedule. And then Balenciaga is doing the same thing and did this cool video game and did this super good sunglasses at night video. So it is kind of nice that these huge corporate brands are taking seriously the idea that maybe we shouldn't do things in the normal way. And they seem to be doing things that are like maybe more experimental than what other like LVMH brands are doing. Like a video game is a pretty wild. Did you guys play the game?
No. What's it like? I mean, I don't.
You start going through a Balenciaga store, and then you go to like a night rave, and then you walk around like city streets, and then eventually you get to like a mind garden, and you do a breathing exercise. It's like one of the most beautifully rendered things I've ever seen. But in terms of like, as a woman who grew up playing Mortal Kombat with her older brother, I didn't find it particularly challenging.
You gonna buy the Mortal Kombat Supreme game console?
Yeah, you need that, Rachel.
Yeah, I think I do need that.
I guess it probably dropped 2 hours ago. Sorry.
Oh, God. Once again.
So the Balenciaga video game was like gamified, like it involved, it was some kind of mission that involved, what do you call, like, it wasn't just walking from one place to the other. There was
it's like Grand Theft Auto, but you're wearing Balenciaga and you're surrounded by Balenciaga models and like, but you also like can't really do anything. You can't like kill people or steal cars or get chased by the police.
But if you're wearing Balenciaga in real life, you can absolutely do those things.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you pull the sword out of a stone, like a Sword of Excalibur vibe. Because the other thing that I was really surprised to find is that the boots, you know, those boots, the crazy armor boots.
Yeah.
So one of my friends who's in Europe went to the showroom to look at the clothing, and the boots are like rubber. Oh, they're really soft. Yeah. Which is really, I didn't expect that at all. But yeah. I think they're like really light, actually.
You gotta see clothes in person.
That's right.
What, everything is like medieval themed? What's going on with that?
Some of it's medieval because fashion is armor. Some of it, and then some of it is just like parkas and like hoodies and, you know, crazy jeans with this apron that's cargo shorts that like ties on.
I guess if they were metal, that would definitely be like taking hard clothes to the next level.
Yeah. They're still hard clothes though, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the cool thing about Balenciaga in terms of the hard v soft clothing debate is that it all looks really hard. Like it all looks really like it was manufactured at the most like advanced sci-fi organization in the world.
Definitely. Is the Balenciaga lookbook that's like on Vogue Runway all renderings, or are they real people wearing clothes? I can't even tell.
It's like a mixture of both.
No.
But if you go to the website for the video game, you can look at the lookbook and you can pivot things around like 360 and tilt things up and down in the way that you can when you're like selecting a player in a video game. It's pretty cool.
Where does Balenciaga go from here? What's next?
Where does
Couture?
Yes. I'm gonna get a custom Couture suit of armor.
When is that?
Made of real armor.
Our Couture show scheduled? Like, is that happening?
Yeah, for July of next year.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And then Dior just showed it, the Kenny Scharf collection.
Yeah, and that is their pre-fall collection, which is what normally happens now. Because remember, this is when the Stussy collaboration dropped last year.
Right, in Miami.
In Art Basel.
How could we forget?
How could we forget?
Kim Jones really digging deep into the, not digging deep, I would say going full committing to the collaboration. Does he just do it with in-between collections? Like to do a whole collection that's just Kenny Scharf, or a whole collection that's Stussy? It's such a
big... No, because he did the, I think every collection is technically a collaboration except for the Judy Blame collection.
Yeah.
Which was more of an homage.
Right.
But the coolest thing about that collection, I thought, was the hair by the god Guido Palau.
Would they had little buns?
Absolutely.
So they had a couple of different hairstyles. They had the two buns on top of the hair. And then they had these, I presume they were wigs. Sam, you might know, but they were like this like mini, like a micro bowl cut.
The micro bowl cut is so out of control. Incredible. I actually don't. One of my friends was in this show and he got like a major like cropped e-boy cut. With like the sort of swoop, like floppy bangs parted in the middle with like a little light bleaching on the ends. And I think that was his real hair. And I hope that he keeps it that way.
I mean, that's amazing.
It looked fucking tight.
I haven't seen Guido Palau do much men's do many men's fashion shows before, because he's kind of, he's like the dude at Valentino who does these crazy like couture like crash helmet hairdos. So I primarily knew him from his women's wear work. And he has like the most amazing Instagram that's like just all of these totally insane hairstyles that are very kind of like a 1950s movie star having some kind of like really serious nervous breakdown, which is a nice vibe.
Dropping some hair, some BTS of the hair process in the chat.
This is your homie, Sam.
Shout out to the good homie, Dominic.
Wow.
It's a pretty glamorous video of a model sleeping with lots of clips in hair, in his hair, lots of clips.
I think the beret might be the next big menswear hair accessory. Maybe the first menswear hair accessory.
Barrettes?
Yeah.
Just walk around with like a little clip in your hair.
Yeah. I think you're right, Sam. Or like a big clip.
Yeah, just one huge, like one of those big claw ones.
Uh-huh. Well,
have any cool thoughts about Frances McDormand wearing Fear of God on the cover of Vogue?
Yeah, I think it seems like the people at Vogue are really enjoying their subscription to GQ magazine.
This cover is freaking tight.
I know, it's really great.
She looks awesome in Fear of God. That's a nice, pretty heavyweight credit for Jerry Lorenzo there, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it is a heavyweight credit.
I would wear this outfit, probably.
It looked really cool buttoned up in the lookbook, I thought. They showed it with like the jacket is fastened in the lookbook. It's very nice, very Armani.
Do you think that was the first time someone was wearing a hoodie on the cover of Vogue?
No, probably not, but it's a notable
one. I mean, Anna's first cover, the model was wearing a LaCroix sweatshirt. Don't you forget, Sam.
Come on, Sam.
How could I?
As everyone knows.
What's on your guys' holiday wish list? What's in your guys' holiday gift guides?
I need to get something off of my chest.
All right.
Okay, last week it was creative directors, and this week it's quirky gift guides. Every day someone's like, hey, like I have a offbeat curation of crazy gifts from all my cool friends or like my amazing mind palace.
Save it.
Everyone is like,
shut up your ass.
I'm Neiman Marcus and this is my fantasy gift guide. And it's all dumb garbage that nobody wants. Like, you're not going to buy your friends any of this dumb stuff.
All right. Well, what's the right stuff to be in your holiday gift guide?
I'm so glad you asked, because here's my quirky holiday gift guide. Okay. First of all,
Rachel picks up a notebook.
A Kermit Oliver Hermes scarf.
Okay. Does Kermit still, I think I've asked this before, but are they still producing new designs by him? Or like, are they in circulation at Hermes stores?
Yeah.
You don't have to get the vintage, I'm saying?
You don't have to. But I don't think you could just go into any Hermes store and they're going to guaranteed have a Kermit Oliver in stock.
But they might. Okay. All right.
Okay. Second, socks from Front General Store.
The best socks. They're made in Japan at the same factory that I think Undercover makes their socks at. I don't have any Undercover socks, but that must be good.
Are they like a crew sock or like a rag sock? What is it?
They're ribbed dress socks.
Wow.
I have the white ones. You've seen me wear them before.
Yeah, the white ones.
And commented on their sheer beauty.
$18. Beautiful gift. Okay. My next gift on the Quirky Rachel gift guide. A box of oranges.
That's a nice
one. So good. Yeah.
Isn't that a great gift? Okay. Now we're getting into the really sexy stuff. A ski suit.
Okay.
Because you want that. You're going to be outside socializing during the winter.
It's going to be a snowy winter too.
The next gift is a beautiful sweater, either by Lauren Manoogian or from O'Connell's. And then the last gift, and this is like, if you just really want to show someone that you really care at like an unbelievable level and you want them like on their deathbed to be like just saying your name, is a pair of Porsche Carrera sunglasses.
Wow.
Really? Why? Why those?
Because Yoko Ono had them. Has them.
Wow. What's the price point on those bad boys?
I was looking at some this morning and I found them used, like a beautiful, like kind of goldish used pair for, well, they were on a British website. So they were £495, which that's like $600.
Hmm.
Sam, what's in your quirky holiday gift guide?
I don't have a quirky holiday gift guide because I took Rachel's advice and didn't make one.
Yeah.
I'm not Neiman Marcus.
I think we should just leave it at that. But do you have any, do you have a wish list? Do you have rule gift giving or receiving rules by which you live?
I think a lot of gift giving is, it's really all about like, it's about subverting the gift guide industrial complex. Like there are certain things that are just so obviously like just teed up for you to buy someone as a gift, like a candle at Nordstrom or a little cocktail pre-made kit or something, just like random doodads that like might be sort of exciting to unwrap and receive in the moment. But at the end of the day, like they don't, I guess, project thoughtfulness or a deep, intimate knowledge of like what someone desires and wants and needs in their life. So I would say just the number one thing is just like avoiding the cookie cutter giftable items that it's the types of things that you only encounter once a year, which is like from December 1st to December 20th.
So what's on your wish list? Like a
wish list,
a mix CD? I said something meaningful, like a mix CD?
Just a hot girl Spotify playlist. No, I did ask for a knit polo shirt, polo sweater from Bodhi, cool new brand that I found. It has these like little ceramic buttons, or maybe I guess they're glass buttons actually, that are just very beautiful. And it's brown with red tipped collar. And then I asked for a pink Art Legacy shirt.
You asked Santa Claus for these things?
I asked Santa Claus, yeah. But I've been kind of bad this year, so I think I'm just gonna get coal.
My Christmas gift, my first Christmas gift that I received this year is Samsung doodads.
He did say doodads, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. No, what did you ask Santa for?
I don't have a goddamn thing in mind.
World peace.
But I can make a suggestion or two. Well, there's a few things that I'm into right now. Gift guide item or suggestion is to make something by hand, and that's a good gift. That's a good way, and you still have time. And I think a good way to do this, although not super easy, because you do need some tools and a little bit of know-how, is just to get your Donald Judd on. Just knock off some Donald Judd with like some wood scraps you find around. Just make boxes, and you could even make yourself a tiny wooden stool. Rather than getting a primitive one or a French modern one for thousands of dollars, you could make your own pretty cool Judd-esque wooden stool. And people just go crazy for that.
I know. So can you make me a Judd daybed?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. They're pretty easy to make. Yeah, you just need a lot of wood.
All right. That's at the top of my list now for you to get me.
The second gift idea I have is something that everyone needs right now, and that's a Gotland sheepskin. Gotland sheep are the best. I think they tend to be like Swedish or Norwegian or something, and they have like a curlier hair and really nice gray and silver colors. And that's just something to like lay down on or put on a chair. Like if you happen to have attempted to buy a sheepskin chair and it turned out to be defective and you had to return it / have a public meltdown about it, you could just buy yourself a Gotland sheepskin and not, and just put it on any chair and skip that whole rigmarole. So that's the second doodad. And then the third doodad that I'm into, this is a very popular item, maybe one of the number one items for cool people, is glassware by Aspen Hand. They're kind of famous for the glasses that have like colorful nipples all over them, which are kind of insane. But I also like their other tumblers and glasses that are just colorful and they don't have nipples. But I think that's a big one. That's for like someone you really want to impress or drink with, hydrate with. That wasn't a very inspired. That was a pretty good gift guide, actually, I would say.
I thought that was great.
Another good gift idea would be to build an enormous fire, like a bonfire. I think like if you take a bunch of pallets and just tear them all down into planks of wood and make a pile and throw some gasoline on it and throw a match on it and then put on like at night on a cold night and go stand by it and drink and smoke and talk, like that would be a really good gift idea, like for your homies. My gift to the homies.
The best gift you can give this holiday season is just a smooch to your homies.
No, don't touch. You're going to spray them with all your bad aerosols. Well, Rachel obviously wins the gift guide competition.
Competition.
Sam lose. I get second place. Sam gets third. Good luck. I don't know. Maybe this is a year of, this is a year either to go crazy with gifts because you haven't, like you didn't spend all your money on like eating out and doing drugs and stuff. So you have all this extra cash and you just need to blow it all on your homies and loved ones before the end of the year. Or it's
speak for yourself.
Yeah. Or it's a year of just no gifts, austerity, holidays, and just maybe save it for next year and just go big next year. And just, let's just get through this year and just put it behind us. All right, that concludes the gift guide special Chairgate episode 115 of Corporate Lunch. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening, for being with us this year. Hopefully we'll do a few more before the end of the year. Right, guys, you think?
Yeah,
we'll do one next week.
New Year's resolutions coming up, style resolutions coming up.
If you purchased a Corporate Lunch hat from shop.gq.com and it's arrived, please send us your fit pics. Send me a fit pic of you wearing it.
Definitely.
And if you haven't purchased one, then that's at the top of your gift list now. So there you go. Free idea.
Shop.gq.com.
Big box of oranges and a hat.
That's all you need.
Yep.
All right, later, guys.
Bye. Bye.